This is a Squiz Kids podcast. Your fresh take on what's happening in the world around you.
It started roughly 2,000 years ago with a fisherman named Peter. More than 260 men have worn the papal robes since then, and now the world is waiting for a brand new pope to be chosen. This is your Squiz Kids shortcut to the making of a pope, the podcast where we dive into the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the big news stories. I'm Christy Kijarina.
And I'm Bryce Corbett.
Hey Bryce, if you suddenly found yourself in charge of a country, a church, and more than a billion people around the world, what do you reckon would be the first thing that you did?
Let's see. I know. Mandatory gelato every Friday, obviously.
Oh, sounds great.
But seriously, I'd probably call for world peace, I reckon, and then I'd replace the Pope Mobile for a Pope Scooter, much as if you...
Oh, I can see it now. Pope Bryce the First zooming through Vatican City. Awesome.
Only in my dreams, Christy. Today, we're going to be investigating what the papacy actually is, where the Pope lives and works, and how a new Pope is chosen. So, grab your Pope Mobiles, people, and your feathered Swiss Guard helmets, and let's roll.
And listen carefully, there's a quiz at the end.
What?
Bryce, you probably know that the Pope is the leader of the Catholic Church. It's the biggest Christian group on the planet and the second biggest religion overall after Sunni Islam. And as the head of the church, the Pope is the spiritual leader for around about, get this, 1.3 billion people worldwide.
Whoa, that is one massive Sunday service. But Christy, how did this enormous job even begin?
Oh, great question. So it started with St. Peter. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. And after Jesus died, Peter stepped up as the leader of the early Christians.
Right.
And he's often called the very first pope. And in the Bible, Jesus called Peter his rock. He's the strong foundation on which the church would be built.
Ah, so the papacy, which is the official word for the pope's role, has been going strong for around 2,000 years.
Yeah, it's actually one of the oldest institutions that's still running today.
Wow.
But of course, it hasn't always been smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. In the Middle Ages, there were times when there were two or even three popes, and they were fighting over that top job.
Oh, wow. Talk about office politics. And I know the Pope is always a man, but isn't there a crazy story about a woman sneaking into the role at some point?
Aha, the legend of Pope Joan. She's a woman who supposedly disguised herself as a man and became pope.
Cool.
But most historians think it's just a myth. But it's been told and retold for hundreds of years.
Wow, what a shame. These days, popes don't control armies and kingdoms. Instead, they focus on issues like fighting poverty, caring for refugees, protecting the planet, those sorts of things. Pretty important stuff.
Yeah.
But Christy, where does all of this important work actually happen?
Bryce, home sweet home for the Pope is Vatican City. It's a tiny country inside the city of Rome in Italy.
Uh-huh.
It's only about half a square kilometre big, and that's smaller than some shopping centres.
Sure is. The Pope lives right next to St. Peter's Basilica, which is a giant, awe-inspiring church you may have seen in photographs or on the TV news. It's built on the very spot where St. Peter is believed to have been buried.
Wow. And tucked inside Vatican City is the Sistine Chapel. You know the one with Michelangelo's jaw-dropping ceiling painting?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's where the big secret meeting happens to choose the next pope.
And of course, the whole place has lots of security. Protecting the Pope is a very fancy bunch of bodyguards called the Swiss Guard. Now, to join the Swiss Guard, you've got to be Swiss, you've got to be Catholic, and you've got to be trained like a top soldier. And be willing to rock a very fancy, very jazzy, stripy uniform with a feathered helmet. It's very serious work, though, even if the outfit looks ready for a costume party.
And did you know that hidden behind the Vatican walls, there's a secret archive? It's kind of like an exclusive library, stuffed with ancient scrolls, letters, treasures, kind of like a real-life Da Vinci code.
Very cool. But Christy, what does the Pope actually do all day?
Oh, it's exhausting. Every day is a big one.
Right.
The Pope firstly leads Mass. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of church service.
Yep.
Meets with world leaders, writes some important letters that guide Catholics around the world. Uh-huh. He'll greet visitors, and when he travels around Vatican City, it's not in a limo, it's in the Pope-mobile. It looks kind of like a super souped-up golf cart.
It sure does. And on big occasions like Easter and Christmas, millions of people, Catholic or not, tune in to hear him speak. But lately, I've been wondering, when a pope dies or steps down, how is a new pope chosen?
How?
So, Bryce, when a pope dies or resigns, it's time for a conclave.
Dun, dun, dun.
Lots of cardinals, their senior church leaders who are aged under 80, gather in the famous Sistine Chapel, the one with the ceiling painting,
yep.
And this time there's going to be about 135 of them.
Yeah, and here's the cool thing. They're locked in for the period of the conclave. Literally locked in. They cannot leave until they pick a new pope. And conclave, of course, Christy, actually means locked room in Latin. No pressure, right?
No, not a big deal at all. Not. They vote by a secret ballot. And if they can't agree, then they have to vote again and again and again.
Wow.
And if they haven't managed to agree, the votes are burned and black smoke rises from the Sistine Chapel chimney.
Mm.
But then, finally, when someone gets 2/3 plus one of the votes, white smoke rises from the Sistine Chapel chimney and the world knows Habemus Papam. We have a pope.
Look at you with your Latin. The 267th pope. So, Christy, could my dream of becoming Pope ever actually come true?
Oh, well, Bryce, technically the cardinals could elect any Catholic man as Pope. But in reality, it's always been a cardinal since, well, way back in 1379.
All right, so not great chance at all when you get it. Of course, once they're picked, the new Pope accepts the job and chooses a new name. Pope Francis chose his name to honour Saint Francis of Assisi, who was known for helping the poor, nature, and animals.
Oh, nice. But as for names, John has been the most popular with 23 Pope Johns.
Whoa.
But there've been some quirkier ones too.
Oh, yeah.
Pope Simplicius and Pope Zosimus.
Nice.
And the best one, Pope Hilarious.
That is hilarious. And of course, the Pope will get kitted out in some pretty amazing gear too. There's the papal mitre, which is the tall, pointy hat that he wears, and the fisherman's ring, which gets smashed when the Pope dies to symbolise the end of his reign.
Oh.
The traditions, the history, the drama. It's no wonder the whole world will be watching when the white smoke finally rises.
Time for the quiz.
This is the part of the podcast where you get to test how well you've been listening. Question number one. What is the tiny country inside Rome where the Pope lives? Yep, that's right. It's called the Vatican City.
Question number two. What's the name of the ceremony where cardinals pick a new Pope? The one with all the voting. Well done if you said a conclave.
Question number three. What colour smoke tells the world that a new pope has been chosen? It's a 50-50 chance we've got here, people. And the answer is, of course, white smoke.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us as we explain the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the making of a pope.
And as we say, now get out there and have a most excellent day.
Over and out.